Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21 would be the text for the message this evening. And this text came to my mind, of course, on our favorites evening. We think of singing our favorites, and our favorite songs are really a testimony in themselves. You may not have given a testimony as far as sharing something that God has done in your life, but in a way, by sharing your favorite song with us tonight, you've shared a testimony. You shared something that means something to you about your walk with the Lord. And really, that's what verse 19 is the verse that I thought of when I was thinking about tonight, praying about what to bring as a message for this evening. And, of course, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And that's what we've been doing tonight, is singing to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But if you notice that verse is, of course, between other verses, but there's no period before that verse and there's no period after that verse. In other words, it's the middle of a sentence. So if we want to capture the whole sentence, which is not the whole thought of the chapter, obviously, but the whole sentence, we'd have to start reading in verse 18 and read down to verse 21, which is what we will do this evening. And then it kind of brings about some different thoughts about how this singing to ourselves, or speaking to ourselves, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in our heart to the Lord, where that comes from, what is that, why we do that, or what brings that to our thoughts and hearts and minds. And that is what verse 18 talks about, and that is being filled with the Spirit of God. A lot of talk in Christian circles about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, there's a lot of misunderstanding about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of things that people say about being filled with the Spirit. That people say that it means you have to speak in tongues, some language that nobody understands. That's being filled with the Holy Spirit, performing miracles. People think, some people will say that if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to go out and perform miracles. Pick up deadly snakes and serpents, as Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 16 and 17, and around in that part, and that they won't harm you, and so on. But we realize, as we mentioned this morning, that there's different time frames of scriptures, different time frames that God has given. And so we said this morning that as the message kind of ties in with this morning's message in that sense, that those gifts of the Spirit that God gave were for a time. They were for a purpose of authenticating the gospel message, of lending credence to the message of salvation, the gospel, which seemed like a new doctrine to many people of that day. They were Jewish people, and of course the pagan religions as well, and so on. And so this new gospel, well, how do we know whether it's true? How do we know whether it's right? So God authenticated the gospel message by giving these special signs, these miracles, these gifts that were given. And people did those in the power of the Holy Spirit. And certainly, as we look at the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon Christians the first time, that came to indwell Christians, as Jesus had said in John, chapter 14, that we read this morning, that the Holy Spirit was with them, but would be in them, and He came to dwell in them at Pentecost, they were filled with the Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues. And so people look to that and say, well, that's what you always have to do if you're filled with the Spirit. But again, we mentioned there's different times, and God had a time frame where some of those special things were done. But we have the Bible today, which replaced the sign gifts or the miracle gifts that were for that time. And so though there was a time where some who were filled with the Spirit spoke in other languages, and they were real languages, they weren't just heavenly languages that nobody else understood, they were real languages. You look at the day of Pentecost, and those people that were gathered on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that they were from all different nations, and they all heard the disciples or the apostles speak in their own language wherein they were born. So they were real languages. They were the Medes and Parthians and all those different languages that are mentioned there in Acts chapter 2, they said, we all hear them speak the wonderful works of God in our own language. So they were real languages that were used, that God gave the ability to be spoken by the disciples who had never taken time to study those languages. But in our text tonight, I believe that we see three ongoing things that are evidences of being filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's what we'd like to look at this evening. Three signs of being Spirit-filled. It says in Ephesians 5:18, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, and giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." He says being filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Well, we would understand that being filled with alcohol would have an effect on people. It would control them to do things that they wouldn't normally do. And so being filled with the Spirit is speaking about a matter of control. As we said, alcohol changes people's behavior. People who are under the influence act differently than when they're not under the influence. And, you know, we've all seen it or heard it. Maybe it's even been us that have experienced it for ourselves. But the fact is that when people drink alcohol, that their demeanor changes. I'm thankful that even my parents, though they were not Christians until they were probably, I would guess, around 40 or early 40s. I don't remember exactly. I could do the math if I had time. I won't do that. But they never did drink alcohol. I'm thankful for that. I've never had alcohol in my system, never drunk any. I'm thankful for being raised in a home where I wasn't introduced to it. And so I didn't care for it at all. But I've seen the effect it has on people. I've seen people who are intoxicated, and it changes their demeanor. It changes their behavior. It changes the way they act. And so the Lord says here, don't be controlled by alcohol, but be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit be the one who changes your behavior in a good way, not in a negative way. Because alcohol, let's face it, changes people's behavior typically in a very negative way. They become often loose morally. Sometimes they talk about things that are not appropriate to talk about. And, of course, driving and so on is very, very bad. But there's things that people do in a very negative way. And on the flip side of that, though, if we're controlled by the Holy Spirit, it will have a positive influence in our life. People who are filled with the Holy Spirit will have boldness to speak about the Lord in a way that they don't normally do. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said that ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And so that boldness, that power to witness, was as a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, remember the apostles on Pentecost. It always amazes me the transformation between Simon Peter just before Jesus was crucified to Simon Peter at Pentecost. Simon Peter, just before Jesus was crucified, although he had a very strong resolve that he would never deny the Lord, denied Christ, cursed and swore to prove that he didn't know him, three times he denied that he knew Christ, and Jesus told him he would do that, though he was adamant that he would not. But he was impacted by the surroundings and so on, but he was not bold. But at Pentecost, he stood up very boldly and he proclaimed a gospel message before thousands of people. 3,000 were saved. How many were there that weren't saved? I don't know. Maybe everyone that was there was saved. I don't know. But at least 3,000 people were there, and he boldly declared, "This same Jesus ye have taken and ye have crucified him, he is Lord and Christ." We could say, what made the difference? Well, of course, they'd seen the risen Christ. That would make a difference. But I believe the biggest difference was the Spirit of God came on them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit gave them the boldness to preach and to stand up. People who are filled with the Holy Spirit are led to places they may not go of themselves. Again, and that is in a good way, and they may stay away from the places that they may naturally be drawn to because they realize that they are not good places to go to. Philip was drawn to the desert of Gaza. Why? Because the Spirit said, "Philip, I want you to go down there because there's a man there I want you to meet. And I want you to tell him about my salvation." And he met the Ethiopian eunuch there. I'm sure he wouldn't have gone down there. Why would he leave from Samaria where a great revival was going on? Well, the Spirit led him to go there. Realize this tonight, that the Holy Spirit will never lead you to somewhere or to do something that the Bible says you shouldn't do or a place that the Bible says you shouldn't go. It always amazes me that people say, well, I just feel like God is leading me to do this. Well, if you can find a verse of Scripture that says don't do it, it's not the Spirit of God that's leading you to do that. So be controlled or be led of the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit, being controlled by the Spirit means we will not live after the flesh. Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." What a wonderful thing it is to be controlled by the one who wants the best for your life. You ever stop and think about that for a minute? God wants what's best for you, and if you're filled with the Spirit, He will be controlling you, and He's the one that wants what's best for you. The devil has a lot of control over a lot of people, but the devil doesn't want what's best for you. He wants what will destroy you, because Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to kill and to destroy." The devil is a liar and a murderer from the beginning. He doesn't want to help anybody. He wants to destroy people. He comes along like he wants to help, but he wants to destroy you. But the Holy Spirit of God, when He is controlling your life, He's interested in your well-being and the glory of God. What better combination could there be? Realize that tonight, being filled with the Spirit is actually a command of God. He says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." The Bible doesn't suggest, but commands that we be filled with the Holy Spirit. There are many other scriptures, of course, that deal with the other side of the coin, where He says, "Be not drunk with wine." And we would acknowledge, many would say, yes, we acknowledge, we agree, it's not right to be drunk. It's not right to drink. We know God commands us not to be drunk. God says, don't drink. Look not on the wine when it's red and so on. A lot of Christians are all for that, and I am too. But it's just as much of a command to be filled with the Spirit of God, to be controlled by the Spirit of God. And so as we would say, we ought not drink. God commands us not to drink. Yes, He does. But God also commands us to be filled with the Spirit. And so if we would follow this command, we would be doing what God would have us to do. And we would avoid a lot of trouble in our lives. But what are the signs of being Spirit-filled? Well, that's found in verses 19, 20. And 21, and one point for each verse this evening. The signs for being filled with the Spirit are a new song. Verse 19, He says, speaking to yourselves. So be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When we are filled with the Spirit, we have a song in our heart. Not just any song, but a song of the Lord, a spiritual song, a song that is of God. Tonight we sung some songs that were special to each individual person and asked for a particular song. That song meant something to you that you said, this is the way I desire to live. This is what I desire. This is what I'm thankful for, whatever the case might be. And you said, this is why I want to sing that song. Though you may not have shared those thoughts audibly in your heart and in your mind, say, this song means something to me. I want us to sing this song together tonight. It came from the heart. See, it may be that you like the tune, maybe you like the melody, but the song meant something to you and you desire to sing it tonight. Spiritual songs. Often when people are happy, they sing. And that's great. Whistle while you work, you know, a little song. And yeah, it's great to whistle along and sing along and hum along. It makes life go by better. But when a Christian is filled by the Spirit, their song, they have a song, but it's a spiritual song. It's not just any song. It's a song that has a spiritual impact in their life. A song of thanks and praise to the Lord. A song of encouragement to others. A song of testimony as to what God has done in our life. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. How many times a song will come to mind that calms our hearts, lifts our spirits, or encourages another? Have you ever heard somebody humming a song and you go, wow, that's just what I needed to hear. That was such an encouragement. That was such a blessing. That's what He says to speak to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. The song of a believer is not necessarily professional in nature. I don't know too many of us who are professional singers. I know certainly I'm not. Professional musicians. But when it comes from the heart, it makes all the difference, doesn't it? I would much rather hear somebody who a song means something to them and they sing it with passion from their heart than to hear a song sung or played by somebody who is very professional and may have done a very good job of it, but it was just another song to them. Isn't that what happens sometimes when, maybe not so much today, maybe in the country and western scene it still seems to be a little bit, but you hear the singer and they take and they sing some gospel song. Say, wow, there's so-and-so singing a gospel song. Well, did it really mean anything to them? Or was it just another corner of the market they could get to make a few extra dollars? We have to ask and wonder sometimes. But to sing a song from the heart is a blessing to others, a spiritual song. When we're filled with the Spirit, those songs will be in our heart. We may not be able to make very good melody with our lips, but the melody is in our heart when we're filled with the Spirit of God, because He gives us that song. A song of the heart will ultimately come out of the lips. But also we see that another indication of being filled with the Spirit is a thankful heart. Verse number 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Being Spirit-filled gives a thankfulness, a desire to thank God for what He's done in our life. The believer who is led of God realizes how blessed he indeed is. We've said it many times, but it's so true, isn't it? We live in a world where we become very entitled and very expectant. We expect a certain level of living. We expect a certain amount of appreciation for things we do from other people. We expect a certain amount of pay. We expect a lot of things. But when we're filled with the Spirit of God, I believe we realize that we are indeed blessed of God. God told Israel, they said, when you get to the land, He said, and it's all bounty, don't forget who gave it to you. And that's the desire of a Christian who's filled with the Spirit of God is, Lord, I don't deserve this, but thank You for what You've done for me. The early church was filled with the Spirit. Many times we read that they were filled with the Spirit. And in Acts chapter 4, there's an indication, a story there. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. The disciples are told, don't go preach anymore in His name. Don't do it or else you're going to be in trouble. And they go out and they go back to their own company and they pray, and they pray for the power of God and they pray for God to use them. And the Bible says that they're filled with the Spirit. The place shook where they were at. And the Bible goes on to say a little bit later in the story, in the same chapter, at the end of the chapter, that they had all things common. Now, God doesn't command us to have all things common, but I do believe that one of the things that we learn from that is those people who were filled with the Spirit, those young Christians, were so thankful for what God had done as God's Spirit filled them that they were willing to impart to others who had need. There are many verses that command us to be thankful, but it comes naturally to the Spirit-filled Christian to thank God for what He has blessed us with and what He has done in our life. The last one here is humility. In verse 21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, I know some men like to read verse 22 and read about wives to submit to their own husbands, but verse 21 is a general statement, isn't it? That we are to submit one to another. All of us as people submit to one another. I'm sure that many of the men who would like to read emphasize verse 22 like to ignore verse 21, right? But the reality is that submitting one to another, how does that come? Why is it that we are to submit for one another? How will we be people who submit one to another? Instead of butting heads and arguing and fighting and trying to be the supreme one or whatever, what will be resulting in submitting one to another? It's being filled with the Spirit of God. When God is in control of our life, then it won't be worried about my rights and what I deserve. It will be, what a great God we have. What a great Savior we have, how He has blessed us, and we'll be willing to submit one to another. Notice it says, in the fear of God. Because God says we should do it. Because we recognize that it's God who told us to do it. Humility and submitting to others is not a matter of importance or position. Some people say, well, I'm more important than them, so I shouldn't have to submit to them. But that's not what the verse says here. It says, submit one to another in the fear of God. Because it's not about who's more important. It's about humility before God and before others. Jesus was the most humble, and he humbled himself more than we will ever understand how we can ever humble ourselves. And yet, who is he? He's the one who deserves all our worship, all of our praise. Who in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. That mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. He said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. How do you get that kind of attitude? Be filled with the Spirit. Allow God to have control of your life. And then you will be not doing things for strife, to gain notoriety, to gain popularity, but just be saying, well, I'm just going to humbly serve God. If somebody else gets the credit for what I've done, oh well, God knows. I'm not worried about it. When we're controlled by the Spirit, we won't worry about proving our point for the fact of proving ourselves right, but about honoring God and serving Him. We are told to be filled with the Spirit, to be controlled by the Spirit. How do we know if we are being controlled by the Spirit of God? Well, there will be a song in our heart, a song of spiritual song, that will be a blessing to us and a blessing to those who hear it. Maybe not for the tune's sake, but a blessing for the words that are spoken. If we are filled with the Spirit, we'll be a thankful people, realizing how blessed we are and being thankful to God in the name of our Savior. And we'll be a humble people, humbly submitting to one another in the fear of God, realizing that the Lord is the one who deserves all the glory. And we need not worry about that and trying to gain it ourselves. And so may God help us to obey this important command and see its fulfillment in all of our hearts and lives.